Imari Williams here, and you're listening to Geekcast Radio Network.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This is GCR episode 74, and TFG1 Mike is talking in circles with Dan, Chuck, and Greg this week.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio. This is episode 74, and this is one of two podcasts coming up here on GCR where we talk to the other network shows that neither I nor Steve have anything to do with, for the most part. I'm, of course, your host, TFG on Mike, and this week we are going to be talking in circles. Welcome, Movie Revolt Dan. Hello.
How's it going?
It's going. Everybody knows him. He writes the movie reviews that some I agree with, some I completely don't agree with on the website, and he started talking in circles. Along with us, we have Greg. Hello.
Hello.
And Chuck. Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, not much, not much. All right, so, Dan, how long have you been around? I'm old. I don't remember.
Well, I started...
2011?
Yeah, near the end of 2011. I started just writing blogs back then. Reviews.
So Dan's been with us about 3 out of the 5 years that the Geekcast Radio Network has been online. And this was this year, right? Or was it end of last year?
Beginning of this year. January.
January. That's right. That's right. January of this year, Dan launched his own podcast on GeekcastRadio.com, the Geekcast Radio Network, entitled Talking in Circles. Why don't you talk a little bit about, Dan, what your, like, why you wanted to start the podcast, where the title of the show came from, and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. The basic premise of the idea where the name comes from is actually, we kind of mentioned this on our pilot episode, but the idea is when Greg, Chuck, and I are good friends. I grew up with Chuck. We've known each other since second grade. Greg and I, we spent our first college class together. So we've all been kind of friends since then. And during our time in college and whatnot, like no matter what we did, no matter where we went, we would always end up someplace in a circle talking about whatever. It could have been, you know, geek culture usually because we're all into that type of stuff. So it became this running joke with us, the idea of the circle, and there's a lot of, I would say, incriminating photos of us doing different photo gags regarding circles. But so that's where the name comes from. So, yeah, talking in circles is obviously that common saying, but it was kind of a throwback, you know, inside joke a little bit to back in our old college days. I got the idea for the podcast, I don't know, I would say maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years. I've moved down to Baltimore, Maryland, but Chuck and Greg both still reside in Scranton, Pennsylvania, good old Scranton, PA. And on occasion, we see each other, but we don't get to hang out a great deal. So I was thinking, you know, when we talk on the phone or we communicate, it's often about, it is basically a podcast. It has a lot of our conversation is what we talk about on the podcast. It's similar to taking that and putting it on a podcast form. So I thought, oh, it'd be a good way to kind of get together formally and like hang out virtually and then just record it for fun. I actually got the idea. I think what kind of inspired me a little bit was the Kevin Smith Smodcast, when he mentioned like that's why he did Smodcast, was to hang out with his friend Scott Mosier. And it was like it'd be kind of working out. So I'm like, well, that makes a lot of sense. So about June of last year, I mentioned to Greg and Chuck, and I don't know how into it they were, but I think Greg eventually got into it. He actually made a logo for it, and we talked about it a little bit here and there. And eventually, we finally sat down and did it. It took about 6 months for us to nail down what we wanted to do, and we're still kind of figuring it out. But we started in January of this year, launched our first episode, and it's been going ever since. So I know we're one of the younger podcasts compared to a lot of the other people you've talked with.
Not really. One of our syndicated shows, Turtle Flakes, they're only a year old or so.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, so no, you guys aren't the young. Well, you're the youngest when it comes to the overall GCRN regular network shows, because I think it's a tie between you guys and Weekend at the Movies, as far as who's the youngest. Because both of those ideas kind of came up around January of this year. So, Greg, you created the logo for the show?
I guess I did. I think I was possessed by a devil spirit or something.
That happens to him a lot. I don't know.
It does. Usually when I talk about people being naked, that's when I'm being possessed by a devil spirit.
But yeah, he designed the logo. Our first logo was a lot different than what we have now. And then I remember getting like a message from Greg saying, "Hey, I need a photo of you," and being a little scared about that. Like, all right, I'll guess, see where this goes. And so I eventually he sent us the image of his R3 faces. And we always make the joke that it's as you see the photo, it progresses in facial hair, starting with Greg, then myself, and then Chuck. So that's how it's designed. But yeah, he came up with that. Pretty much any of the images you see almost that we put out, they're all done by Greg for the most part.
Yay, college is a good degree for me.
Graphic design, there you go.
Yeah, according to my one teacher, graphic designers are the rock stars of the art community. And if that's true, I am not getting enough action.
I guess you just need longer hair.
Yeah, I need the nice, long, flowing hair.
Yeah.
If you were still stuck in the 80s, maybe.
Now I don't know. I think Khaleesi's into guys with long hair.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. See, this is kind of what Greg's into. As you can see. But yeah, I think, but yeah, so we started around there. And like when we first started, I don't think we had an idea exactly of what we kind of wanted to do. Like we know we wanted what topics we want to cover, but the big question became, well, how do we go about it? And we've all come at this with a lot of different ideas. I mean, Greg, you started at the end of each episode, we end with a letter or something like that. And that was an idea that came from Greg. So, Greg, do you want to talk about where that came from? Like, why and where that idea came from and that whole set?
Now, let me just clarify before he speaks. You mean an actual written letter, not just, hey, this is Sesame Street and the letter of this week is L.
Yeah, we're up to K now. We're up to K.
Okay.
We're going to see what we get next week. We don't know yet. Do not spoil it.
If you follow along every episode, it spells out a phrase. No.
No. Yeah, an actual letter.
Oh, so it's Wheel of Fortune.
Pretty much. No, we an actual written letter to someone or something. Or just
an open letter.
It's been a lot of different things, and I think we've written for happy, funny, jokey things. We've written some sad things for people who passed away, and it's kind of run the gamut of all the different things. But yeah, so Greg, where did that idea come from, or do you not even know?
That idea came from of me constantly pretty much criticizing Brian Michael Bendis to you guys, and then I was thinking about on like different shows that you watch, like the old shows with like different families and stuff, like Family Matters, that kind of thing, where they usually have an episode in there through their run of somebody having an issue with somebody else, and that they would write a letter to somebody but don't send it. You just kind of get all their feelings down, and that would help them move on. So I kind of just slammed the two together in my head, and I figured, what if we had this little thing at the end where we know, like, Brian Michael Bendis isn't going to listen to the podcast, but it's nice to kind of put that energy out there so we could kind of move on from those scenarios, and maybe the people that do listen could kind of relate and be like, yeah, that kind of does piss me off, or yeah, he isn't as great as everybody thinks he is. And so that was kind of the whole idea behind that.
I'll tell you guys this, you'll be surprised who listens, because, you know, every time I or Dan posts whatever links we're posting on Facebook for the fan page, you know, that one person out of 12 people that it might have reached, or 13 people, or 100 people that it might have reached, that could be someone that clicked on the site, you know, clicked on the link and went to the site and listened to it. So you never really know.
Well, you let me know if Amelia Clark writes in, Emily Ratajkowski, Jennifer Lawrence. I have a list, so let me know.
I think Jennifer Lawrence is a little busy right now, especially with being hacked.
She's probably nowhere near a computer right now.
No. She probably went back to the 1920s. No computers, no nothing.
She's living in Amish country, actually. Yeah, fully clothed, strangely enough. But yeah, so that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know I've been saying a lot, but Chuck, what was your idea when you got into the podcast? Because I know that I kind of sprung it on you guys. So I was hesitant because I didn't know what you guys would think of it, but it seems like you were at least enjoying it a little bit.
You guys are 35 episodes in. If they weren't enjoying it, they would have told you by now.
I have a lot of blackmail. I have a lot of blackmail.
Especially against me.
I was kind of, hesitant at first, I'll be honest. I never really did anything like this before. I have a perfect face for radio, so I thought that...
I think we all have a perfect face for radio.
I wasn't super excited about it only because I was a little bit shy and embarrassed and stuff like that. And I know Dan has told me many times that everyone hates their voice when they first hear it in a recording or something. And I still hate mine, but I've learned to deal with it. But yeah, you know, once we got rolling, it kind of became just, you know, hanging out with my friends and talking about stuff we have in common. And it's kind of like this cool meeting we have every week. And it just so happens that we're recording it and kind of letting everyone else listen in on it.
Yeah. See, that's the thing with me, where I've gotten to the point now where I've been doing this for 6 years. Oh God, been doing this for 6 years. and sure, I have certain ways to introduce shows and stuff like that, and where it sounds like it's an actual show someone could find somewhere, whether it's on TV or on the radio. But at the same time, I hit the record button, and as long as nothing goes wrong, I've gotten to the point now where as long as, like, no call drops, no, you know, dogs in the background, no screaming babies, my neighbor's not crashing through my ceiling, that kind of thing.
Have all those things happened?
In 6 years, you'd be surprised.
In that order, too.
not the neighbors crashing through the ceiling, but yeah. you know, I've gotten to the point now where I just hit the record button. We talk for as long as we talk. I do a transition, stop, rename it, and then, you know, go on to the next conversation. For me, how I have to edit is I have to edit in clips. I can't edit one long thing and find a way to put stuff. It's not my style. So as far as, like, not enjoying the sound of your own voice, I get it, because honestly, half the shows I edit, actually 99.7% of the shows I edit, I listen to them as I'm editing them. I don't need to hear I know what the final product is. I still download all the shows, but I don't need to listen to the episodes after I've published them.
Yeah, it took me a while to get used to it. I still don't like it a great deal. There's always times in which, because when I edit, I go back and I listen to the entire thing. And because I, in some ways, maybe edit too much in a way, because I've gone back and I listen to it and I try to take out, you know, awkward silences, some ums here and there. Like, I'm kind of meticulous with it, maybe to an over extent than I need to be, but when I do it, I don't know. Like, I try to make it better and better. Like, I've gone back and listened to, like, our old episodes, like, on a great deal, just looking at, like, ways we can improve, adjustments we can make. And I'm always, it's just how my mindset is. Like, I don't like being static, so I always like to change things. So because of that, I've just gotten used to the sound of my voice. I think in my head, it just became this third person that's not me. I'm just like, that guy sounds weird. I don't know why he would say that, but... you get used to it after a while. I could see what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, see, I've gotten to the point, and I know Dan knows this. You guys might not, Chuck and Greg, you guys might not know this, but according to Optimus Solo from Weekend at the Movies, I am on 85% of what the network puts out as far as podcasts go. And for me, it's because I am partially disabled. I don't work. I have to take care of my mom. So for me, I have 24 hours in a day that I can do with pretty much whatever I want. And I figured, you know, hey, why not just go ahead and do as much with the podcasting stuff that I can do? And I don't even know what the number is of podcasts that I've recorded in 6 years. I know it's over 1,000. But it's one of those things where I don't mind the sound of my own voice, but unless I know, this goes back to what I was saying a second ago, unless I know there's something wrong at, say, 3328 in a record, all as I do is, I spent that time that you're talking about, Dan. When I first started, I spent 11 hours on one episode getting rid of the ums and the ugs and the dead air in the middle of the conversation, and I was spending way too much time on one episode per show, and it's like, oh my god. I've gotten to the point now where I edit as long as there's no extenuating dead air in the middle of the show. If there is, I can always find a way to extend the silence and put a clip in and then delete around it. But, you know, I couldn't continue going 11 hours editing one show. It just, oh god, took forever.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Like, it depending on how long the show goes, because sometimes our shows are an hour long. Sometimes our last show went a little bit longer. We had it was one of those things where we just kept talking because we had a lot of stuff to cover. But so that went like 140 minutes. But we've gone up there a lot. Like, I think we've gotten better because some of at our peak, our longest episode I think was like over 2 hours, but we barely get up there that much anymore. We tend to go for like 90 minutes is what I think a good amount. I try not to go over that. So
yeah,
I can get that up there pretty long though, Dan.
You can, but you need, I mean, our cinema is growing. It just, you got to keep it going.
Somebody, you sometimes have to call the operator and stuff, and because you're not supposed to be up that long. You're supposed to call the operator.
I think you mean 911. I think you're calling the wrong lady, Greg.
No. You take this just like to hear the sound of her.
Do we even have operators anymore? Is that even a thing? I don't think they exist anymore.
Oh, yeah. The operators at Viagra. That's what we're talking about.
Oh,
help,
Lord.
Help, we've been podcasting for over 4 hours.
Oh, God. Don't even... Okay, so since I'm talking to Greg and Chuck for the first time, I'm going to tell you guys this. Most everybody knows this, but when I started listening to podcasts, I would listen to shows like World's Finest Podcast and Earth2.net The Show. Earth2.net The Show is by Michael David Sims of Earth-2.net, and he, in his 10-year podcasting, he has at least 7 to 10 podcasts out of that time that they are either over 3.5, 4 hours. He has one show, his longest show, wasn't recorded all at one time, it was recorded in spurts, 7.5 hours of podcasting. Nice. Now, on the GCRN, there have been times where I've had long shows. I just, as we're recording this, I just finished editing a 3-hour and 40-minute show. I edited it within, like, the 15 minutes before we get on the call. So I edited a 3-hour show in 15 minutes because I knew there was nothing wrong with it except in two spots that I just threw in a Greg Berger clip in both spots.
I like Berger. And,
yeah. Me, Grimlock, no podcaster. Me, Grimlock King. So I've gotten to the point now where on the GCRN, the longest show we've ever had, I think, is 5.5 total for one episode. If you count the two Star Wars episodes from Empire, those are 5.25 hours, but they were broken up into two separate episodes. But yeah, I'm one of those people where I started listening to podcasts. I liked long podcasts, and I still do, because I can sit here and listen to a 4 or 5 hour show, and it doesn't feel like any time has passed for me, because I'm so into the show.
Yeah, it's all about if the content's good or not. I mean, that's the key. I mean, there's been times where we've cut things and edited things, but yeah, I'm not against long podcasts. I just know some people have a breaking point. So, and
oh, absolutely.
When we've done like movie review podcasts and they've been longer than the actual movie, and you're like, interesting. But yeah,
I will break you.
Yeah. I think that goes to Avengers and Amazing Spider-Man 1. I think both of those were 2.5. When we did Avengers, Amazing Spider-Man 1, and Dark Knight, I think all of those were like 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah.
I think something like that.
But yeah. So we've been going about, and we just did our 36th. We'll do our 37th actually after this. And
37th in a row.
yeah. but yeah. So
keep the streak going.
Yep. We've been when we started this, I think we all had different ideas. We kind of created a document of different things we'd like to do, and we've kind of gotten from that. We've changed and adjusted new things. And honestly, when I come to the podcast, a lot of my ideas spur out of honestly not listening to Geek Podcast, but listening to like Sports Talk, because mm-hmm. Sports Talk, I think honestly, is better produced and better made than most Geek Talk Radio, because it's mass produced. It has to mm-hmm. be in a lot of ways. So I think that's a better learning model in how to do things. So we've kind of taken some of those ideas. We've talked sports about a few times as well. But I don't know. I think our major goal is just trying to have good conversation. And we had a tagline that's kind of lame, but I think kind of poignant, that, you know, taking timeless topics in new directions and just taking those ideas and concepts that we always talk about, but just trying to put a little bit of a different spin on them if we can, which I think mm-hmm. has been fun. So I don't know, but
yeah, I mean, I'll say that when you guys did the superhero draft and the action hero draft is probably my favorite episode at this point.
Yeah, we've got a lot of good
people. And Greg was the clear winner. I don't care what the poll says. Greg's was the clear winner.
There's only one deciding factor. That's the vote of the people.
Chuck was a people's champ. I still haven't won yet. I mean, I don't
Dan
know.
Puts the poll like... up, he can fix it, and he still has
Oh, it's like fantasy football. Dan is the commissioner of our fantasy football team, still has not won a championship.
No, I have not. Yeah, so...
What other drafts do you guys kind of have to kind of tease up a little bit? What other drafts are you guys going to be doing? Are you going to return to those drafts, or are you going to do new ones?
Yeah, I mean, we have to return because Chuck needs to get his first draft pick. we've been doing it as the person who has won ends up getting the first pick in the next draft. We haven't really nailed one down. I mean, I don't know. You guys, I thought maybe science fiction. I mean, there's a lot of different ones. You guys have any ones you'd like to do? We haven't really discussed it, really, but...
I think one that we mentioned possibly was maybe like a villain draft or something.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about that. See, Chuck is the memory of our podcast as well.
We
I'm
all
the Ram.
I'm
the Ram.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
That really does describe me, though, random access memory. My memory is so random, it's not even funny.
It's not funny. Don't laugh, guys. It's not funny. Don't laugh.
Yes.
No, you laughed. I heard it.
It was an internal laugh, but yeah.
It was a pity laugh probably on Dan's part.
Yeah. It was weird though, because we have to like kind of juggle the difference between like the top fives and then the drafts. Like mm-hmm. They're obviously different things, but there's kind of a fine line. So we have to kind of pick which topics would work better for which one and kind of go from there.
Well, you guys could always, it's your show, you can do whatever you want, but I was going to suggest if you wanted, not necessarily every 10 or 20, but I was thinking every 10 episodes you do a draft, every 20 episodes you do a top five, or hell, every 5 episodes you do a top five, whatever, however you want to do it. But I mean, it's the draft ones, at least the action hero one was really, really interesting, because I would have never thought to have put David Hasselhoff and Nicolas Cage in the same team.
No one on earth ever has.
I want to see that movie now. Michael Knight and Memphis Reigns. That would be awesome.
Would make $1 billion. Yeah. We have put some of those parameters on ourselves so we don't repeat our ideas too much. I mean, we have some ideas we've gone back to a few times. Like, we do this thing called Factor Fiction, which was like our first episode. We've gone back to that like once or twice. We only do top fives. I guess it's giving a secret away, but we only give top fives on 5 episodes. Like when we did top 5 at 35, so we'll do another one at 45, just so we don't go to that too much, because then you kind of run out of ideas. But
right, yeah.
Our big thing, and we've done another thing called sequel, reboot, and destroy a couple times, but we've gone back to different ideas, and we've tried some ideas, and they have not worked. And I'm like, well, that didn't work. So either we can try it and do it differently. Like I tried this game called Moments in Time. and it failed miserably. But, it's a learning experience. It's like, yeah, it just, part of it was like, I just designed it wrong and it didn't work out. So, but, I think it still ended up being an okay episode. So it's just, we try some stuff, it doesn't work, and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Oddly enough, like the action hero draft, we got so much more feedback on it than our superhero draft, which I thought we'd get, I thought it'd be the opposite, but it's how the tide works, I guess.
Guess so. Greg, what is your favorite part of geek fandom?
Not getting laid.
No, favorite part.
I wish I had a rim shot app.
Rim shot? What? This is no, really kinky now. Like, wow, guys.
That's
we just wrong. Found something out about Mike.
No.
All right, let's clean it up.
I don't know exactly what my favorite part is. Like, I just love these different stories and these different worlds and realms. And I don't know if it's a need to fill some kind of hole, but like in my heart, not like an anus hole or any other of those sexual holes. But
no one thought that.
No. I figured no one thought that. But I like just trying to fill maybe like a hole in my heart or something. But like just trying to fill that with like collecting stuff, like a whole bunch of comics. I've been getting into the Funko Pop Vinyl stuff lately. So there's the collection side.
Material things will never make you happy, Greg.
I know, exactly. And I feel like maybe psychology-wise, maybe that is happening because I do have a ton of shit and I really need to find my own place, which I'm trying to do. But I don't know what it is. I've always liked history, so maybe it's kind of the story element. And then with comics, you've got the whole being interested in art and illustration and all that kind of stuff and design. So I think it's just like a combination of all those things, because I really got into geek culture through my next door neighbor for the most part with comic books, because he's the one that introduced me to that. And my dad got me interested in science fiction, even though all he watches anymore are Westerns. But he introduced me to Star Wars when I was younger, and Ghostbusters and all that kind of stuff.
What do you think about the upcoming, I don't know if you've heard about it, I'm not sure what comics you follow, but what do you think about the upcoming IDW crossover of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Ghostbusters?
I don't really read that much IDW. I've been trying to expand my horizons on that. But for the most part, I haven't really read any Ghostbuster comics. It's just kind of the movies with me because of Dan Aykroyd, like everybody in that movie. I love all the actors in that. And Teenage Mutant, the Turtles, I grew up with the cartoon and the movie. I didn't even know there was a comic until I was way older, and I just really haven't even tried to, which I really should read any of the comics for that. So I came in through different avenues to those two different titles.
Yeah, they're doing a 4-issue miniseries coming up that's going to cross over between the two worlds. And sadly, the IDW Ghostbusters book is coming to an end, which kind of sucks. I haven't read it yet either, but I love IDW's Turtle stuff. It is a love letter to every single aspect of the Turtles universe.
It's
so great.
That's like one company we don't talk about a lot on our podcast. I recently got a lot into Boom Studios with their different stuff and Image, but I don't think I read anything from IDW at the moment.
Yeah, I've really been getting into Image and a little bit into Vertigo, too.
Yeah,
and I just got, at the Baltimore Con, I got a IDW book, and it's Doctor Who, because I've really been into Doctor Who anymore the past couple of years.
Yeah, Greg's our... a resident at Whovian. Yeah.
Do not test my knowledge on it, because my mind blows.
Yeah, we had an episode, a homework episode, where we assigned each other different topics and different things to watch or read or whatnot. And I got Doctor Who, so I got to watch the first season, which I have been putting off forever. So I have a season worth of knowledge, but beyond that, I don't know much.
Yeah, at this point, I'm probably not going to get... I tried Doctor Who. I tried the current series. I tried 3 episodes from each of the Doctors up till the 10th, I believe. It's too British for me. I just can't get into it. But I am going to be giving it another shot probably sometime next year, because we're going to be doing something with it in remote control. What about you, Chuck? What is your favorite thing in geek fandom?
Well, I kind of had an odd beginning, because I never really got into comics until I was a little bit older. Probably when I was around 17 or 18. I guess where it started was like probably cartoons and movies. Obviously, like Turtles probably were my first love. Those cartoons... like a lot of people, they really had a big influence on me, and I've always liked, you know, action movies and stuff growing up. And then when I got into comics, it was weird. Like, I think my grandmother or something got me a couple of comic books at some yard sale, and I was like, oh, you know, that's cool. And I wasn't really into them, but for some reason it just triggered this like collecting bug inside of me, and like, now I have probably close to 3,000 comics. But I guess, like, I like so much about geek culture, so many different things. I would probably hang my hat on the comics. I love just reading the different stories and being taken in different places, and it's just a thrill for sure.
Absolutely. And we all know Dan's the movie buff of the group.
I like to call myself that on occasion. But honestly, the cool thing about...
Or maybe we should call you by your other name, Movie Snob. Yeah.
I get that, too. It happens. I'm not ashamed to admit it, but yeah. Honestly, though, the cool thing about doing this podcast and the fact that it's all... We talk about everything is that we've actually had a lot of influence on each other, because Greg is also really big into novels. Like, he probably reads a lot more than Chuck and I, but... He ended up getting me really back into reading actual novels, and I've got more into that recently. I've also got more into comics, like starting to read new things that I haven't before, because I'm getting out of the whole superhero stuff. Not necessarily, I still love superheroes, but I'm starting to read a lot of cool things. Like I just got done reading, or I'm currently reading this book, Hacktivist, and picked up some stuff in Valiant, which is kind of superhero-ish, but differently. But yeah, so that's a cool thing that we've talked about different things, so we've actually... been later down the road. Like, I kind of got Greg a little bit into Game of Thrones, and I know he was on the precipice of doing it anyways, but I pushed him. Yeah, he's been stuck like that for a while now. He's a big Khaleesi fan. But yeah, and I know, so we've all kind of had that and whatnot, and movie wise too. So yeah, I mean, obviously my first love is movies. What got me into geekdom probably was cartoons, like Chuck, because like Chuck, I didn't get way into comics until later in life. A little bit when I was younger, but mostly growing up, it was the X-Men cartoon and the Spider-Man cartoons and, you know, all that stuff. And then I really got into movies because of podcasting. I was always a movie fan, but when I first got listened to my first podcast back in like 07 or 06, it opened up like a whole new world to movies. So ones I wasn't aware of, like independent films, like classic films. So it's still my first love, but I've kind of try to expand my horizons beyond that. But because honestly, in the month of I went through my like longest drought of not watching a movie, like I went for like almost a month without seeing one just because of work and life. So I was hurting. So
you started twitching and stuff.
I did. I had to take off Monday just so I can watch like 5 movies to get over it. It was, you know, it was like a movie impromptu movie
marathon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm movies are really, really high up for me as well. I mean, they're very close with comics for me, but I am very much a redneck, and I love shiny things and bright colors. So comics are perfect for me in that aspect.
So are the bass boats. Chuck loves his bass boats.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, moving on. Dan, I will suggest IDW to you because you're trying to get out of the DC Marvel trap of superheroes.
It's IDW not a trap.
Does Yes, yes, it is. Yes, yes, it is.
Such an awesome trap, though.
Depending on who's writing and depending on what editorial decisions certain the dildos make at DC.
Sure.
Anyway, I will suggest IDW to you because they basically have 90% of all the famous franchises. They've got Transformers, they've got Turtles, they've got, if you're into it, ponies, they've got X-Files, they've got a whole bunch of really, really cool and awesome stuff. I will highly recommend the Turtles to all three of you guys because that's a book that I was really skeptical about because, like you guys, I started with the cartoon and the movie, and I knew of the Mirage book, but I never really knew anything, never really read it, never really knew of it that much as a kid. But reading the IDW book, the one thing that did scare me was, like, as soon as I read that first issue, I'm like, oh, no. They're going to be in the Mirage style, basically no color, all of them have red bandanas, blah, 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 oh, crap, here we go. I thought I wasn't going to like it at all, and I'm still hanging on board with it. We're 37, 38 issues into the series, and it's every little thing in that book is a piece of awesome. There are certain things, because they change artists every time a new arc ends and a new one begins. And it sometimes can be a little jarring on the art, but the story overall is top notch.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely check it out. I mean, what I've really been getting into, though, I mean, I like licensing stuff. I mean, that does sound good. I've heard a lot of good things about that Turtle book, or more so like the independent books where it's like the guy, like, you know, you just have a guy being able to explore a brand new concept. Like, this a few weeks ago, I talked about East of West and Deadly Class, which are two books I you know, picked up randomly at the store one day, and they were both fantastic, really original concepts, new. Like I kind of just want to get into something that's like not big yet, like getting into something like Walking Dead before it became Walking Dead. So I'll definitely check out that Turtles book. I'm always looking for new comics, but to throw recommendations at you, I would recommend Deadly. I don't know, like I said, Deadly Class is a book I don't know who to recommend it to. Like I said, mm-hmm. Chuck probably won't like it, but Greg might. And Deadly and East of West, if you're like into like dystopian futures or kind of way out there stories, I don't know. But yeah, I'll definitely check that out. So always looking for new things. That's always cool.
The other one I'll say, and we can move off of comics in a minute, is you've been reading some Image stuff. Check out Cowl from Kyle Higgins. Cowl is the Chicago Organized Workers League. It is based off of his characters from his short film entitled The League. What if there was a superhero labor union in 1960s Chicago?
Interesting.
It's going to be about five issues in at this point. It's fairly new. The story moves very well. You don't necessarily have to watch the 27-minute short film, but if you want to become accustomed to the main couple of characters, I suggest you do. But it's like, I think it's issue two or issue three. They do something in comic. Like, I've never read a comic like this because it is not for kids at all. It's completely for adults. And that's what I find with Image, and mostly Image, is they write pretty much for grown-ups. They're not worried about the kiddie market at all.
Oh no. Like the Deadly Class and East of West are both by Image. Yeah. There's a lot of graphic, you know, use of violence and drug use. I mean, Deadly Class is about teenagers, but I don't know. I don't know if I'd want teenagers reading it. It might be a little bit too much.
Yeah, it's the adult version of Twilight. No, I mean, like, if Twilight was actually good.
Yeah, that's a big if.
Yeah, exactly. It's like stretching if all the way to the end of the earth. All right. What do each of you hope to get out of the future of Talking in Circles, Dan?
Money. no, realistic.
No PBS models allowed.
fortune.
Yeah. I don't know. I just could hopefully. I just want to get better. Like, that's my main goal, is just getting better each week. You know, making a better podcast in whatever way we can. I mean, that's, I think, my number one goal. And having fun with it. Like, I have some ideas. Like, I would like to, you know, bring in, we're on the precipice of getting some interviews, and starting there and trying to expand that. I'd like to do that, be able to talk to some people. But I think, you know, to me, our first year was just trying to figure out what our show is and then go from there. So I didn't want to get stuck in a goal and then like not look at what's in front of me and just and not see the opportunity there. So I think we're just trying to get better at this point.
What about you, Chuck?
I just pretty much will just echo what Dan said. I'd like to just get better and develop our chemistry even more. Do without some of the awkward silences that I have and, you know, some of the lame...
It's all Greg's fault, isn't it?
No. But some of the, like, you know, lame-ass jokes that I come out with and stuff like that, you know, sometimes you try to be too funny, it doesn't work, but I'm not really interested in achieving any certain level of listenership or anything. I really don't care who listens. I'm just having a good time, like, kind of hanging out with my friends and having these discussions and stuff like that, and I just like us to sound good, to put out a good product, and you know, whoever enjoys it, that's great, you know?
Awesome. What about you, Greg?
Well, a date with Emilia Clarke, Jennifer Lawrence. Am I hitting this too hard on the head here? No?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay, because okay. You're way out of your league.
You have not seen me, sir.
I'm looking right at you. I can see a picture of you.
You have not seen a good picture of me, sir.
I'm going to put a picture up of, like, John Stamos and be like, this is what I look like.
Plus, awesome personality. Just saying. But I'd like to, I've been trying to, I introduced a new thing at the end of the show with a radio type play, because I'd like to get into more, kind of writing stories and everything, not just for the podcast, but I would like to write a novel at some point. If I could get that out, that'd be pretty sweet. But I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. So I've been just trying to kind of practice with the Unknown series that I have going at the end of the show. And I also like to do the podcast because I do get to talk to the guys. And like Dan said, he's down in Baltimore. We're up in Scranton. We don't get to see him that often. And we used to hang out all the time when we were in college. And now that that hasn't happened, like now that we're not in college anymore, it's just kind of... It's gotten really lonely, so to have to be able to talk to the guys all the time is just really great. And beyond that, if something happens, it happens. It'd be really cool if we could get more people to listen, more people interested in different things we talk about. But I'm not looking for a real big particular goal that I'm hunting down or anything with this.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. I have no idea what we're going to be doing in episode 75. I have no idea at this point. Episode 76 is going to be, I think, Weekend at the Movies. I'm not sure. Let's wait and see on that. You can find Talking in Circles on geekcastradio.com every Tuesday at 4 a.m.
Yep, because that's when I wake up. So
and only
is that really why you posted at 4 a.m.?
Yeah, I wake up at 4:30, so I can make sure to check it, make sure it's good, and that way, if things are messed up, I can correct it before most humans wake up. So that's my goal.
You can check out Talking in Circles on geekcastradio.com. You can check out them on their Facebook page. All the links will be in the post. In the post. And you can leave them reviews on iTunes. Please do this. I think you guys are up to 11 at this point.
We have 12, I think. 12 or 13.
Take that! Woo!
I hate to say you're wrong.
We have at least 13 ratings. I don't know if we have 13 reviews. But
oh, yeah. Ratings, you have 13. But its reviews are at 11. Actual reviews. So you can find them on iTunes.
Don't be smug.
I am a stickler for checking the iTunes stats on all the shows. I check them all almost twice a week, usually, depending. Anyway, I am TFG and Mike. Let's go around the room. Who's next?
I've been Dan.
This is Greg, yo, butt up, or Mike, or somebody else other than that. I wasn't prepared for my or, sorry.
And this has been Chuck.
God, I wanted to do the pullback outro. Fuck. Unleash the geek in you, and we will catch you next time.
Now for a behind-the-scenes look at GeekCast Radio Network's newest show, Talking in Circles.
So, Chuck, Greg, what are you guys thinking for this week's show?
Well, Dan, how about we just talk about the things that we've read or watched this week?
We do reviews like that every week, Chuck. How about a game, like Fact or Fiction, or The Power of Names?
Those are great, and we're always coming up with new ideas for games. And how about some top fives? You know how I love my top fives.
What about tournament-style brackets, or sequel, reboot, and destroy, who will win in a fight, taking too far, crazy but true news, or...
Yes, it appears we have lots of things to work on.
Listen to Talking in Circles, taking timeless topics in new directions, every Tuesday on iTunes or GeekCastRadio.com, the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hey Dan, who's the guy with the creepy voice?
You've just listened to GeekCast Radio on the GeekCast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at GeekCast Radio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.